Today on Hardwired.
America is on a slip and slide into the pit. And what are we to do? Give up and say, well, you know, I just can't handle being a Christian in this seething cauldron of temptation and deception. No. Listen, trying times are the worst times to quit trying.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Hardwired. You know, it seems like just about everything around us these days is being shaken. The economy, gas prices, nations, political parties, and unfortunately, a lot of churches. Many high-profile churches worldwide have been shaken by controversy, compromise, and sadly, even corruption. But we must bring to mind the promise of our Lord Jesus, who said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Today, we're going to take a trip to the book of Revelation to discover just what kind of church brings God's blessing. What positives did Jesus point out that brought his favor on certain churches? I'm excited to share part two of the message, The Church God Blesses.
Going to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. Let's quickly read through it. And I want to talk to you today about the church God blesses. The church that God blesses. Revelations 1, verse 12. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, this is John talking, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. Listen to the way Jesus looked. His head and his hair were white like wool. Hallelujah, glory to God. We're getting there. As white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. That's why he will be the one that lights up heaven. Verse 17, when I saw him, John says, I fell at his feet like I was dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the living one. Listen to this, everybody. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, John, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. This is the meaning. Now listen closely, everybody. He's going to tell us a couple of things about what John saw. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. Let me tell you what they meant. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. We're a lampstand. There's three things going on here with what we read. First, Jesus appears to John as the glorious resurrected Messiah. Now, second, he's seen standing in the midst of seven lampstands. That is, Jesus is. Jesus is seen standing in the midst of the seven lampstands. Can you imagine with me Jesus standing right there in the midst of us? Standing right there. So it tells us that he is integrally connected to his church. But then the resurrected Messiah standing in the midst of the churches has something in his right hand, and it's seven stars. And so we go, well, what are the seven stars? Well, he tells us. He says the seven stars are seven angels. Now, it's very important that we understand here that in the Greek language, when the translators went to translate from Greek to English, they call the Greek word angelos, angels. But angelos means messengers. That's what it means. So in his right hand are seven messengers. To every one of them, he begins his word with this. He says, I know your works. Here's what you're doing that I can put my blessing on. So I want to talk about the church God blesses. How many of you want to be in a blessed church? All right. So let's talk about the church that God blesses. What three characteristics is all I have time for. But I'm going to pull three things out that he says to the ones he commends. There's a repetition. So here they are. And I want you to say them with me. Say perseverance, kept the faith, kept his name. Now, folks, it's going to take that in these last days with every believer who names the name of Jesus. It's going to take perseverance. We've got to walk in perseverance. We've got to make up our mind. No matter what they say about me, no matter how hard the going gets, I have resolved to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. I am going to persevere to the end. Jesus said, he that endures, same word, he that endures to the end shall be saved. This is why there's verses like this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Why would doing good get you tired? I'll tell you why. Because when you're doing good in the name of Jesus, you're going to be targeted by the devil and you're going to find yourself in warfare. And when you're in warfare, what he's saying is, when you're in warfare, don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't quit praying. Don't quit going to church. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit. But put on perseverance. Set your face like a flint, like the captain of our salvation did. Set your face like a flint. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Notice how perseverance plays a part in you obtaining what God has for you. Let me put it this way. Very little of what God has for you is going to be obtained by you without perseverance. Amen. Because between the promise and the provision, there is always a problem. There's always a lag time. There's always a wait time. There's always a keep on keeping on time. Between the promise and the provision, there is that lag time between the two where you've got to put on perseverance. And isn't it funny how, looking back, I can look back on my own life and say the times that I felt like quitting the most were the times when I was almost there. When the provision was almost there. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the devil chooses to attack with the greatest ferocity just before the provision comes? Because he wants to get you to quit. He wants to get you and me to walk away. He wants us to say, well, God's taking too long. And maybe he didn't hear my prayer. And maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I haven't been praying according to the will of God. I don't know what it is, but I know this. I've had it. I'm fed up. I'm just going to walk away. And it is something how you say, all right, I said that, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep persevering. And suddenly the breakthrough comes. The answer comes. The provision comes. And you realize the devil was trying to stop you just before. That's why we need perseverance. They persevered. These churches, through the evil of their time. Jesus says, you cannot bear those who are evil. That's one of the things they were persevering through. You're having to persevere in the evil of your generation, the evil of your time. Times full of evil, times full of evil deeds and evil people required perseverance on the part of the church. They had to persevere in evil times when their whole message was being countered by the message of their culture. They had to continue anyway. They persevered in the evil of their times. They persevered in the presence of evil men. And are we in any different place? No, America is on a slip and slide into the pit. And what are we to do? Give up and say, well, you know, I just can't handle being a Christian in this seething cauldron of temptation and deception. No. Listen. Trying times are the worst times to quit trying. No, you keep going. You keep pushing. You keep pressing. You keep moving forward, putting one foot in front of the other, knowing that the Savior is going to hold you up and His grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. We are not to give up, but we are to put on Jesus, put on the armor of light and get out there like I did at DFW Honda and let it go. They persevere in the presence of false apostles and false prophets and teachers. Jesus said to them, "You have tested those who say they are apostles and they're not, and found them liars." False teachings and false prophets had infiltrated the church of that day. Can I blow your mind with something? Did you know of the 27 books of the New Testament, 26 of them deal with false teaching and false prophets? Did you know that? No, you got a case of the no-nods today. Let me see. I didn't know that. All right. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, 39 old, 27 new, 26 of them deal with the issue of false teachers and false prophets. Only one doesn't, the book of Philemon. That's it. Aside from the book of Philemon, all the rest of the New Testament gospels, the four gospels and the letters, they deal with false teachers and false prophets. I wonder why. Because there were a lot of false teachers and false prophets. And there are today too. Listen to Peter. There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be. Everybody say will be. False teachers among you and me. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Notice they will introduce into the church destructive heresy, which is false teaching. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. They ruin the testimony of the church by what they say and what they do. They ruin the testimony of the church. They bring the church into disrepute. Verse 3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated, made-up stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. Their destruction has not been sleeping. How will they exploit you? That means they will take advantage of your ignorance. They will take advantage of your naivete. They'll take advantage of your trust. And they will introduce things they've made up. Oh yeah, I go to heaven every other day. I go up there to heaven all the time and talk to the apostles. Oh, that's out there. Oh yeah, I've got an angel. Me and the angel, we go for a walk regularly. I converse with my angel. Or I've got some real precious stones, crystals, and they give me power. Oh, I could go into so many false teachings that are out there. False prophecies, things that are uttered, predicted, that don't come to pass. They make things up. They'll make things up. I'm just reading the Bible to you. They will fabricate stories. Why? It says out of their greed. They're after your money.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Did I come to preach today? Did I come to tell the truth today? I did. I'm not saying this is all of them. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe that it's real, but I also know because there's a real thing, there's a false thing, and you got to be careful. And Jesus is commending this church saying, you persevered in the midst of false apostles. You tested them. You took the time and trouble to test them, and you discovered that they were false. You didn't just let them slide, but you tested them, and I commend you for it. We sit around going, well, you can't judge anybody. Jesus just commended them for judging. Didn't he? Are you reading what I'm reading? But Pastor Jeff, that's just not love. It's not. If you have cancer and I'm a doctor and I say to you, I'm just not going to confess it. You're okay. Go home. No, I'm going to tell you the truth so that you can get it fixed. So there is a cancer in the church, and it's false prophecy. False teachers are everywhere. And he commends them for testing their claims and persevering through the testing so that they were not taken in by it. Amen. Second characteristic is keep the faith. To the church at Pergamos, Jesus says, I know your works, and you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith. Notice that. You didn't deny my faith. To the church at Philadelphia, he says the same thing. I know your works. You have kept my word, same as my faith, same thing. You have kept my word, my faith, and have not denied my name. So Jesus commends the churches that refuse to back down from the faith. The faith. We find in the book of Jude, if you read the one chapter book of Jude, Jude says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now he is isolating and holding before us not just any faith, not just any religion. He says, what we have brought to you and what Christ Jesus brought to us is the faith that was once for all delivered to you. And he says, I want you to contend for it. Now, to contend means to wrestle. So the faith was under attack. The faith. I'm going to tell you what the faith is in just a moment. But the faith in Jude's day, in the first century, in the early church, already it was under attack. And Jude said, I want you to get in the wrestling ring, and I want you to get in there, and I want you to fight for, contend for, get involved against the enemy, and fight to uphold and sustain and maintain and proclaim the faith. The faith that was once for all delivered. That means it's completed. It's finished. No change is necessary to the faith. What Jesus left us is the faith, the once for all faith, the complete faith, the doesn't need anything else attached to it faith. It's the faith. So what is the faith? Are you ready? Here it is. For God so loved the world. That's the faith, that he gave his only begotten. Begotten means one of a kind. There's never been another one like it, never will be another one like it. God so loved the world, he gave his only one of a kind son. Now, do you know who quoted John 3:16? It's Jesus saying John 3:16. Jesus said, God so loved the world, he gave his only one of a kind son, me, that whoever believes on me will not perish, but of everlasting life. He said, I'm leaving you an exclusive faith. I'm leaving you a one-of-a-kind faith. I'm leaving you a the faith. There's no other faith but the faith that'll get you into heaven. The faith is the only faith that'll work to get you into heaven. The faith is the only faith that'll wash your sins away. The faith is the only faith that'll get you born again, changed from the inside out. The faith is not a New Year's resolution. The faith is not rehab. The faith is not turning over a new leaf. The faith is not self-improvement. The faith is God so loved the world that he gave his only one-of-a-kind begotten son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. And here's what Peter said about the faith. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name than the name we find in the faith. You know, I've got a key. There's only one key that'll get me into my house. There's millions of keys in Fort Worth. There's only one key that'll get me into my house. And if you saw the key that gets me into my house, it's very dull. There's nothing attractive about it. It's old. It's worn out. It's kind of a dull brass color. It doesn't even gleam anymore or glisten. I've held it so many times. Been in this house 29 years, about to move. Hallelujah. Closer to here. Hallelujah. But I could get all the millions of keys in Fort. I was in a store the other day, and I saw this key rack where they make keys. You get a key made. And I saw all the options. I mean, there was polka dot keys. There were keys that had little dogs on them, little kitty cats on them. There were keys that were bright green, bright yellow, bright red, bright this and that and the other, colorful. There were keys that had stripes. There were keys of all kinds of different keys. But I could get all those keys, put them in a bag, take them to my house, and start trying them. Not one of them will let me into my house. Not one. Not one will open the door to my house. Not one. There's only one key that'll get me into my house when the storm is raging, when the thunder is rolling, when the lightning is flashing, when the wind is howling, and I need to get into my house for safety, only one key out of the millions of keys in Fort Worth will get me into my house. Only one. You say, well, that sounds real narrow, but it's the truth. No, Pastor Jeff, you ought to try some of the others. Why would I waste my time? I've got one that gets me in. Right? I've got one that gets me in. Why would I waste my time? Well, because they're more colorful. See, a lot of people, here's the way they see Jesus. He's dull. No, he doesn't stand out. No, he's not glittery and he's not attractive. He doesn't gleam, glitter. He doesn't appeal to me. He doesn't sparkle. He's not cool. He's Jesus. No, why would I go back 2,000 years to some old religion? There's all kinds of keys around. There's Buddhism. There's self-improvement. There's hug a tree. There's all kinds of religions and beliefs and faith. It doesn't really matter which one, as long as you have one. It doesn't really matter. You telling me it doesn't matter? I'm telling you, like, there's only one key that gets me into my house. There's only one key that will get you into the house called heaven. Only one. Only one. Only one. And without that key, when the storm of judgment, can I tell you today, truthfully, there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. It's going to be so ferocious, so terrible, so terrifying that the book of Revelation says the men, the rich, the poor, the in-between, the who's, the not who's, will be crying out to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us to hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne. I'd rather be buried in a mountain of rocks than face him and have to answer for my sin. That's why I tell you today, you will never hear in here, oh yeah, grab any old key at the store. It doesn't matter as long as you got a key. Oh, that's just so stupid. It's as stupid as me believing that about a house key. No, not just any faith will do. They kept his name is the last thing, and I close with this. They kept his faith and they kept his name. He said to Pergamos, I know your works and you hold fast to my name. The church of Philadelphia, he said, I know your works. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Isn't that interesting? Jesus points out, you didn't deny my name. The church God blesses will always uphold and magnify the name of the faith, Jesus Christ. There's a dangerous movement out there today. And the movement is called an ecumenical movement, ecumenical. And it's all about unity. And here's what it means. If you're ecumenical, then here's your belief. You believe that you ought to gather all faiths together in one. Get all faiths, because what we really want above anything else is unity. Unity becomes more important than truth. And you can never let unity become more important than truth. But yeah, we got to be unified. We got to make a testimony to the world about God, whoever their God is. So what this means is there's not just one way and one name. There's not a the faith and the name. No, but genuine love, if you love people, you want to unify. And if you want to unify and you love people, then you embrace all faiths and you say that all spiritual leaders are equal. So Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Dalai Lama, Krishna are all on equal footing if you're a good ecumenical person. If you say there's only one name and only one way around people like that, you'll be mocked and ridiculed and ostracized, called less than intellectual, called dumb, out of the groove. You're not with it. You don't understand. Unity and ecumenism is the most important thing, but it's not. Jesus never told us to be ecumenical. He said, tell the truth. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And no man gets to the Father but through me. That is the truth of the faith. And it revolves around the name and the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I commend you, but I commend you that you've held fast to my name. The exclusivity of it, the uniqueness of it, the one wayness of it, the no other wayness of it. You've held to my name.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.